Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life. Yeah, yeah.
And welcome to Good News in the Morning. This is Reverend Juliet Schimpf speaking today, and I'm keen to share with you the scriptures today to show you, straight from God's Word, how loved you are. We're going to be looking at Ephesians 1. You know, I've been reflecting on love this week because it was Valentine's. It was Valentine's Day recently, and you know, some people love this day. Some people find this to be a tough day. And, you know, it's really hard to find the love we're looking for, even when we have a spouse. My husband came through in the end, but it needs to be said, I had to prod him in a few directions gently and remind him it was Valentine's Day and suggest we have a fire together. But God bless him, he came through with beautiful gifts and such. But, you know, I want to share with you from Ephesians 1 that God has just doled out his love on us. We know from the Gospel of John that God is love. And he can do nothing but love us extravagantly. We don't earn his love. We can do nothing to lose his love. He loves us all the time and extravagantly to boot. So, with no further ado, reading from Ephesians chapter 1 at verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world. Why? To be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. All right, I'd like to look at three things this morning pertaining to this beautiful love letter that is Ephesians chapter 1, namely, the source of God's love, the supplier of God's love, and the seal of God's love. Let's first look at the source of God's love. We see that God the Father in particular, has chosen us. We see this in verse 4. So I want you, listener, to let this sink in. God the Father chose you. Do you remember in school when, you know, there were two team captains and they had to choose members for each of their teams? And I can remember being the last one chosen on the sports field, and that was so hyper embarrassing. Can you imagine that you and I have been chosen by the God of the universe, and we're his first choice? It's as if we are the only one on the earth, so much as his love for us. John 15 reiterates this. It says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." Those are the words of Jesus Christ. But it gets better yet, listener. God the Father chose us, how? In Christ. In Christ. It means that we are embraced in Christ. We are in Christ. I think the best way it is put is in John 15. We abide in Christ. He is the vine and we are the branches. We are in intimate union with Christ. And so the same love, get this, that Christ receives from his Father, we too receive from the Father. It is the same love. Now, it just gets better and better. He chose us in Christ when? Before the foundation of the world. Ephesians 1:5 says this, according to the Message translation, long before he laid down earth's foundations, God had us in mind. He had settled on us as the focus of his love. Now notice, God the Father did not choose us in ourselves, not based on our own merits, as if we could ever be good enough on our own. Rather, God the Father chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, based on Christ's merits, specifically his accomplishment on the cross. So what's glorious about this love is that it is based entirely on grace. John Piper puts it this way, before the creation of the universe, God thought of me. He fixed his gaze on me and he chose me for himself. He did not choose me because I was already in Christ of my own doing, but that I might be in Christ. He did not choose me because he saw me as a believer, but so that I might become a believer. And he did not choose me because I chose him, but so that I might choose him. Yea, he chose me because I was not holy or good, but so that I might become holy or good. He chose me because he loved me. All right, so what extravagant love is this? And not only did Jesus choose us and choose us in Christ and choose us before earth was created, but get this, he adopted us into his family. You know, I have two older brothers, both adopted, and I know firsthand the difference adoption made in their lives. They were born to single, poor, teenage moms with not the greatest future in store, and along come my parents and adopt them into the family. What we see here in Scripture, in Ephesians 1:5, that God destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ. What extravagant love. You know, to actually adopt is quite an act of love. My husband and I have been working to adopt a child for going on 5 years now, and we're just bursting with love to dole out on some child. Well, friends, you and I have been adopted into a family. You know, and this is beautiful news because our earthly families are often very messed up. I've got a lot of friends who can only go home for Christmas for about one day, and then they got to get out of there. And Thanksgiving turns into an annual family fight. But John Piper puts it this way, your destiny, my destiny, is to be God's children, is to belong to God's family. So friends, we're looking here at an extravagant love that is doled out on us. And we know that it's doled out by sheer grace. We see this in Ephesians 1:6, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved, that's Jesus Christ. The Message puts it this way, he, God the Father, wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift-giving by the hand of his Beloved Son. What love the Father has for us. He is the source of all love. And we're going to pause and listen to a beautiful hymn by Chris Tomlin called Good, Good Father. And then we're going to return and look at a second part of the Trinity, namely the supplier of love, and that would be Jesus Christ. But I want to close before the song with these words from John Piper. He says this, we were not cute little orphans that God was attracted to. In fact, we were enemies in rebellion against God. And that is who God decided before the foundation of the world to adopt. So our adoption is not based on our being worthy or cute or attractive or lovable. It is based on the free and lavish grace of God planned before the world and bought for us by the blood of Christ.
Oh, I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are.
Good News in the Morning, and today we're looking at a love letter from God straight to us. The love letter is Ephesians, the book of Ephesians. We're focusing in on chapter 1, and listener, I wonder if we just pause for a second, take a moment. I want you to ask yourself, do you feel loved unconditionally today? Do you feel loved unconditionally? I got to be honest, I'm preaching to myself right now. I don't always feel loved unconditionally. I've got some staff people upset with me. I've got some relatives disappointed in me. I've got a couple friends that aren't showing the love. So if I was truly honest, I'm not feeling very loved. Well, if that's you, I'd like you to just really embrace today's words. They're straight from the Bible to you. And we want to continue talking about how we are loved by the Father, Son, and Spirit. We just looked at how the Father chose us before the world and he adopted us into his family. We're going to now focus in on Christ. And we want to see the love of the Trinity just continuing to pour out on us. Look at Ephesians 1, verses 7 through 10. They say this, "In him we have forgiveness of sins. We have redemption through his blood, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure. Thanks be to God." Well, let's look at the supply of God's love that is brought to us through Jesus Christ. Basically, three manifestations of God's love are revealed in these verses, namely redemption, forgiveness, and knowledge of God's will. Let's look first at redemption. We see in verse 7 that we have redemption through Christ's blood. And this is very significant. This is God's love on full display. Redemption means to purchase and set free by paying a price or a debt. Now, the term redemption was especially applied to the ransoming of slaves. There were 60 million slaves in the Roman Empire, and often they were bought and sold like pieces of furniture. But a man could purchase a slave and set him free. Basically, redemption is all about a fresh start. Well, along comes Jesus Christ, and he redeems us. Did you know, listener, that you and I are indebted to Christ, indebted to God? But we were redeemed on the cross and set free. Free from what? Free from slavery to sin. Free from the law. Free from the power of Satan in this world. Not only were we redeemed by Christ, but he has forgiven us. And forgiveness is the stuff of deep love. Ephesians 1 verse 7 says this, "The forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace that he, Jesus Christ, lavished on us." Did you know that the word forgive means to carry away? And this reminds us of the ritual on the Jewish Day of Atonement when the high priest sent the scapegoat into the wilderness. You can learn more about that in Leviticus 16. You see, first the priest killed one of the two goats and sprinkled its blood before God on the mercy seat. Then he confessed Israel's sins over the live goat and had the goat taken into the wilderness to be lost. Well, Christ was our scapegoat, and he died to carry away our sins so we would never again be a slave to sin. Friends, this is extravagant love. We've been forgiven. You know, all weekend I moped around my house, just overcome with the weight of some of my sin, some of the mistakes I had made in the previous 2 weeks. And it was not until I finally turned to Christ and repented and asked for his forgiveness that the burden on my shoulders and the weight of my sin was lifted instantly. And I took this to be an expression of God's love. He forgave me freely, unconditionally. And the Bible tells us he's forgotten my sins as far as the east is from the west. We see a final form of love in verses 8 through 10 where it tells us that God has made known to us the mystery of his will. This mystery is the gospel. The gospel, which is Christ died for us that we might live eternally in him. This is nothing short of love. I know that I am most intimate and most loved by my husband when he shares me his greatest mysteries, when he shares his secret thoughts, his secret dreams for the future, his fears, his concerns, and when we cuddle up and he just bears his soul to me. Well, friends, I want you to understand today that the creator of the universe, God the Father, he's not a distant God, he's a close God. And he wants to share to you the mysteries wrapped up in the scriptures. And he does that because you are a child and you belong to his family. So great is the love of God for us. We're going to pause and we're going to listen to a classic hymn before coming back and looking at the third expression of God's love through the Holy Spirit. Let's pause and listen to Amazing Grace by Susan Boyle. Welcome back. Today we're looking at the greatest love letter written to us. That is the Bible, but specifically Ephesians chapter 1. We're celebrating God's love. We're coming out of Valentine's. Some of us maybe had a very bad Valentine's. Others a great one. But I want us to focus in on the love of God the Father. We've seen how it's been expressed through his Son, who has redeemed us and forgiven us and even revealed God's will to us. But now we're looking at the Holy Spirit, the third part of the Holy Trinity, and we're going to look at the seal of God's love. We're going to see that the Holy Spirit has given us an inheritance, that he has sealed us, and that the Holy Spirit has given us a pledge or a down payment. Scotiabank has this wonderful saying. It says, you're richer than you think. Well, I have to agree with Scotiabank. Friends, you're richer than you think. Of course, I'm referring to spiritual riches here and eternal blessings. We see in Ephesians 1, verses 11 to 12, that in Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things. An inheritance. Well, often Christians think that their inheritance consists of dwelling in heaven. But N.T. Wright points out that the inheritance Paul has in mind here is the whole world, when it's been renewed by a fresh act of God's power and love. You see, Paul has already said in verse 10 that God's plan in the Messiah is to sum up everything in heaven and earth. God, after all, is the creator, and he has no interest in leaving earth to rot and making do for all eternity with only half of the original creation. No, God intends to flood the whole cosmos, heaven and earth together, with his presence and grace. And we are inheritors of that glorious gift. Now, what's really fascinating and I'd say cool is that the American Standard Version translates this verse this way. It says, in whom also we were made a heritage or inheritance. This is a possible translation as well, which means not only do we receive an inheritance, but we have been made a heritage or an inheritance. So you see, in Christ, we have an inheritance. But in Christ, we are an inheritance. So God the Son is Father, the Father's love gift to us, and we are the Father's love gift to his Son. We can see this in John 17, where Christ frequently calls us those whom thou hast given me. Can you imagine that, listener? Just soak this in. You are the Father's love gift to his Son. Amazing. Now, the Holy Spirit is another expression of God's love. We are told in verse 13 of Ephesians 1 that God the Father has sealed us with the Holy Spirit. Verse 13 says this specifically, in him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. Rick Warren explains it this way. He says, the gospel isn't you imitating Jesus. It's Jesus inhabiting you. Now, of course, we're left wondering, what does it mean that believers have been sealed by the Holy Spirit? Well, the word sealed is used at least three different ways in the New Testament. In Matthew 27, it's used for the tomb of Jesus, which was secured by sealing it and putting guards around it. So one meaning of seal is to lock something up or close it in. Second, in Romans 4, verse 11, we see that Abraham's circumcision is called the sign and seal of the righteousness he had by faith. So a second meaning of sealing is giving a sign of authenticity. And lastly, another meaning of seal is found in Revelation 7, where the seal of God is put on the forehead of God's servants. So we can see that the Holy Spirit is a seal in three ways: as a preserving seal to lock in our faith, as an authenticating seal to validate our sonship, and as a protecting seal to keep out destructive forces. But the point is this: God the Father wants us to feel secure and safe in his love. When's the last time you felt downright secure? Well, God's offering the seal of his Holy Spirit so that you just know his embrace 24/7 and so that you know your security in him. In closing, we see in Ephesians 1:14 that God the Father has given us a pledge through the Holy Spirit. It's a guarantee or a down payment. Did you know, friends, that the Greek modern translation for the word arabon, from which this term pledge comes from, means an engagement ring? Yes, friends, God so loves you that he's offering you an engagement ring, which is a pledge through the Holy Spirit. Christ is the bridegroom. We, the church, are the bride. Go forth now in full awareness of the depth, the height, the width, and the length of God's love for you.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580.